listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NBA, where the Lakers lose again, this time at Memphis, 110-105 the final to the Grizzlies. That makes two losses in a row for the Lakers, who are currently in the 10th spot in the Western Conference, three games out of the playoffs. So, RJ, after another disappointing performance by LA, where does Vegas stand on the Lakers?
Now, that was a professional throw. I mean, for anyone out there, they have that school. Isn't Dan Patrick involved in that school in Florida?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I was thinking of going to take some classes, actually. But the reality is they should take that throw and just put it up there in the archives. Now, I forgot what you had. No. All right. We talked yesterday at length, and I thought it was such an guys, listen. Here's the conundrum that we're faced with. Now, what's the difference between a dilemma and a conundrum? Brad, supposedly you graduated with honors. Yeah. Is that what you claim still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. From where?
Bowling Green.
All right. So we'll count it. And it was in English, right?
Broadcast journalism.
Oh, come on. I thought hold on. No. Your resume said you were like an English major.
No.
Uh-oh. Who was that Notre Dame coach that got fired
what was
over?
That guy's name?
George O'Leary.
All right, so maybe you won't get this, but do you know the difference between a dilemma?
I do not, actually.
Okay, a dilemma is two choices. It's A or it's B. A conundrum is more than two choices. So for you on a Friday night at a bar, at best, it's a dilemma.
At best.
That's what you need to know. All right. So as we discussed, one of our conundrums is how much do we teach, how much do we give actionable information, and how much fun do we have? Because if you don't live in Vegas, or, you know, if you're on some internet radio stations that might have a gambling show or whatever, it's usually a lot of people that aren't all that sharp. I mean, some of them are, but, you know, who are trying to show each other and their 13 listeners how sharp they are. Well, what ends up happening? If you're not a professional bettor, well, if you're a professional bettor, you're not listening. And if you're not a professional bettor, you don't understand what they're saying, and thus the 13 listeners. We've got to find that balance. I thought yesterday we did it in a wonderful way, and we can quickly recap it and then segue into the new information, which was the idea that when there's a given game, let's say the line comes out Sunday and the game is played the next Sunday, NFL. Nothing typically really fundamentally changes in that time. SportsCenter might do an article a segment on, oh, this quarterback's better than you think. Look at these stats. No one understands them exactly, but look at them. Or the opposite, and it could change sentiment. It could change people's opinions. But other than injuries, you know, like, uh-oh, Tom Brady went down, nothing really changes. And thus, what you typically see is small line moves. There might be a disagreement from the odds makers opening up on Sunday, and then when the game kicks off, all the bettors having their vote with their money. But it's usually about less than 2 points. And we've talked about, Fezzik said, I think yesterday, again, he's resting up today for tomorrow, is yesterday he said about 90% of NFL games move 2 points or less, meaning small moves at most. Okay. On the other hand, when you're betting public sentiment, so what's that? Their opinion. So the presidential election, Vegas, Nevada wants to bet on the election so badly. There'd be so much. In Europe, the U.S. election betting is humongous, humongous. So maybe we'll have it. In fact, I would guess we're going to have it in some states for sure for 2020. What are you handicapping? How great of a president Donald Trump was or would be in his second term? No. Or how great Democrat candidate X would be? No. You're handicapping what people think. And it's not objective, right? How good the Patriots are, how good the Steelers are, that's objective when they play. You might assess it wrongly, but you're assessing something that's objective. When you're talking about sentiment, you're assessing something that's subjective. Okay, Brad, take us through three games now. Is it three games after the All-Star break?
Three games after the All-Star break.
Look at these swings. And all I want to hear is the odds to make the playoffs for the Lakers, starting with during the break.
A percent or the actual money line?
You got the percent?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's ready. Let's go with the percent.
Oh, okay. So during the All-Star break, the chances that the Lakers would make the playoffs, right around 44%.
A little less than half.
So what happens the first game after the All-Star break? The Lakers look great. They pull an upset over a good Rockets team. Now, after just one game, the Lakers' chances to make the playoffs go from 44 to 55%.
All right, so one win, 44% to 55%. Wow, 82 games, it jumps up 10, wow. All right, go ahead.
This one's even more alarming. So then the Lakers lose as a favorite to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. The Lakers go from having a 55% chance to make the playoffs to 30%.
Whew. Now, what's interesting is, in your commentary, you're kind of throwing in, and I think correctly so, what's driving that gut feeling? They can't even beat the Pelicans without Anthony Davis?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the math of the loss. It's the impression, and it was a big swing down.
And then last night, the Lakers, kind of in a must-win game after that upset loss, lose again as a favorite on the road to a Grizzlies team that's practically tanking. The Lakers go from having a 30% chance of making the playoffs, now it's only 20%.
Wow. Imagine that. So really what we're saying is in two games, because after the first win, they were at 55?
Yep.
So Lakers are in a given spot, one game after the All-Star break, 55% chance to win. Two games later, no injuries, they're at a
20%.
I mean, Jonas, it just goes to show you. You know, I was thinking about it. We were talking about Knox Locks, you know, being ironic. I think there's something with Fort Knox, but that's got to be ironic. You know, like Fort Knox is empty or something. I mean, we'll figure it out, right? But, I mean, you as a recreational bettor, as the Joe, doesn't it seem crazy that two games can swing, in an 82-game season, can swing odds that much?
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of emotion that's being played into that. That it's not just the numbers, because if it's two games out of 82, that's insane to me, that you would base that on your opinion.
And I'll be honest with you, and when I say this, sometimes people say, RJ, maybe you should think that, but you shouldn't necessarily say it. Well, I just say the truth, okay, and let the chips fall where they may. I got to deal with people's stupidity every day. At stoplights, at the grocery store, I don't go shopping, but if I went, it'd be difficult, I'm sure. I used to go, and thus, the beauty of being a good bettor, a sharp bettor, is you look at the stupidity and think, I can exploit that. Guys, that's why we always say, Straight Out of Vegas, the smartest audience in radio, because whatever I know, I didn't know it 10 years ago. I didn't know it 20 years ago. It was learned through pain and, quite frankly, a lot of money lost in bad situations. And there's no better teacher than being broke to say, I'm not going to do that again. So I'm not saying so much that I like either side of this Laker bet. What I'm saying is the swings are way too much.
Yep.
So the advice is, if you are betting something which is public sentiment driven, what the people think, bet on the swings, meaning if you're looking to bet, for example, I'll be honest, if you like the yes, Lakers to make it, I think now is the time to jump in. It feels like there's been an emotional swing that went too far the other way. So what's your plus number?
300, 3-1.
So right now, Jonas, 100 wins you 300 if the Lakers make the playoffs, where 100 would have won you less than $100 two games ago. That feels like the time to jump in if if you like it. I don't. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, and here's why. I think that any team that's 50-50 or so, and they were two games ago, Lakers to make the playoffs, there's going to be an ebb and flow throughout the season, end of the season. And at a certain point, it's going to look great. At another point, it's not going to look so good. Usually for the team, when it doesn't look so good, they keep fighting back. I think there's a bottom point for the Lakers where they still might have a 20% chance to make it if they kept fighting, that they quit fighting. LeBron will say, What are we really fighting for? I got to save my legs. We knew the first season wasn't going to be much. So I think as you calculate the Lakers' chances, part of it that keeps me off the yes, because usually you'd say LeBron's not going to let this happen. The streak LeBron cares about is all those finals. Did you even know how many years in a row that he had made the playoffs before?
I did not.
Did you, Jonas?
No, playoffs, no. Finals, what was it, 8?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. The idea he's going to somehow fight and tear up his, hurt his knees to get him to the playoffs. Yeah, I don't think so. So I don't love the no. So to wrap up the first segment, another example of the wild swings of sentiment. Be careful, though, back in the Lakers, because I do think there's some give up in them. They're going to say it's strategic, and maybe it is, but when you're betting, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be happy with that.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, you have been betting every day since you were about 14 years old. You've seen it all in the gambling world.
It's true.
Up until
the statute of limitations are up on that.
Yes,
so and I can be honest.
And I would say that you, up until this past weekend, you have seen it all, you've heard it all, you've done it all in the gambling world. But something happened at the Oscars that totally threw you for a loop. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Please explain what has got you so confused about a movement as far as a line goes at the Oscars.
We can go deep, but we also can admit that we don't know something. And that's what I'm going to admit to you. This is what happened in the Oscars. I've thought about it. I've challenged everybody here. Maybe Fezzik Newland on it right now at the early bird special on his day off. I want to see if anyone has an answer. This is what happened. There was a director who, we're going to say a foreign director, just to keep this real simple. There was a foreign director that was nominated for Best Director at the Oscars. The odds were 50-1. That's the kind of odds they'll throw on, like it's never going to happen, but we don't want to pay 1,000-1 kind of thing. Okay. So weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks go by. Then, literally on Friday, so remember, the Oscars are Sunday, so 48 hours before, the foreign director, 40-1. So it's like a little trickle of money's come in. Between Friday and the Oscar ceremony itself, so 48 hours or so, the foreign director's odds went from 40-1 to 2-1. It was being bet so heavily that a majority of books took the bet off the board. Now, they only take bets off the board. They can't make any money when the bet's off the board, all right? That means they believe there's a real chance that there's an unknown that they don't know about. What could the unknown be? There's no injuries at the Oscars. He wasn't going to like not be able to limp up and get it, because he hurt his knee. It was they really, truly believed the betting patterns were such. And this is kind of a fun inside information thing. One of the ways these sports books can tell, the online books, when there's corruption is new accounts. So, Jonas, if I told you, you and Live Bet Jesus or whatever. I don't know if you're blood brothers, whatever it is. But imagine you didn't bet. And imagine if I went to you after the show and said, Jonas, I've never told you this before, but this is a lock. Is this baby's locked up. What are you going to do? You're going to go open a new account at a bunch of places and try to bet, right?
Of course.
So that's what they do, is they get the, you know how, like in the, I don't know if they do this anymore because they've been so restrictive, but if you watched Breaking Bad, they would, I think they called them Smurfs, where they'd have these little meth junkies and pay them to go in and get Sudafed or what, I don't know what it is, but there's certain kind of cough medicine that you could then cook up in a way, and that's one of the ingredients in meth. So if you watch Breaking Bad, they'll show that's how they started, Walter White did, and then later he went more advanced. Is that's what the professionals do. They try to find everybody they can to go, if they have a true lock, right? And not a Knox lock, not a Knox lock, a true lock. And it makes sense, right? Brad, they're going to try to get everyone to go get and bet 500, because usually the max is going to be around there. So these sports books know when there's a huge influx of new accounts that are all betting the same 50-to-1 shot. Not only did some sports books take this off the board, the foreign director winning the director award, they actually voided bets. Not all of them. Some of them voided the bet. Now, when do you avoid a bet? Is when the information, like sometimes a sportsbook software will have a game up after the game's over. I mean, this is a big mistake, and it's probably once a year. Well, you look and say, well, wait a minute. I just watched the Pirates win, and right now I can bet the Pirates at minus 120. I'm going to do it. So people pound it, and then the next day it's all voided out. Like this was a known. They were voiding bets on the best director like it was already over. This was a guy who was 50-to-1, 40-to-1 2 days before the Oscars, closed at 2-to-1, and he lost. Mm. He lost. So here's the question. I'm going to pose it to the world, and if you got the answer, I will say your Twitter handle. If you give me an answer on Twitter that makes sense, that I can't poke holes in, I'll say your Twitter handle 3 times tomorrow to 200 stations. So it's like 600 stations combined are going to hear it. So send it to @RJInVegas. There's no rhyme or reason. Brad, I'm going to let you start.
No, I think I don't have anything because of what you just brought up that I can't wrap my head around. The fact that people were opening accounts. You only do that if you think you have a 99% chance of winning. I would understand this whole thing if that director would have went on to win it. We've seen major odds move, and then that ends up being right because of maybe some possible...
Oh, there's inside information all the time. But the fact... I mean, I'll get people as far into it as I can. This is what I think happened. Now, first off, and again, I don't like to make things personal, but he keeps doing it, so what am I going to do? Our old friend, Darren Revell.
He's a janitor at a high school. Has to take the bus to work every day.
He's fallen. He wrote an article that said the following, that somebody told him, and yes, it was an unnamed somebody. I mean, this is almost ludicrous. That somebody told him that somebody at Penn State knew, and he was in a frat. That was the sourcing. Somebody told somebody. Who? We don't know. And then the very next sentence said, and another somebody told us that somebody at another school started the rumor. What? That's getting published? All right. But the idea that some frat kid, even if his dad was the president of the United States or the president of the Teamsters, I don't care. If some kid said, oh, my dad knows, it's a lock. Anybody that knows anything knows that the whole Price Waterhouse, like the idea that this is secret. If you go back 2 years ago to that amazing Moonlight finish. You remember that, Jonas, right?
La La Land.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, literally nobody. And you know why it took them so long? Because so few to figure it out once the wrong people were on stage and the envelope was read wrong, because so few people knew the real answer. They keep that under lock and key. So the idea that someone would have to be smart enough, if they had enough money to bet to move this line, and let's be honest, the liquidity on this wasn't crazy, meaning I'm guessing there was a couple million dollars bet across the world on this. You know, it's a lot of money, but so it maybe only would have taken $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 to move it this much. But anyone that has almost $1 million to bet on this with all his Smurfs or whatever is going to be smart enough to know that some kid at some college doesn't know. Right. So that idea that it was just some rumor that went wild. I went back on Twitter and did every search possible with the director's name, odds, betting. There was only about 50 tweets about it before. So it wasn't like some big tweet. Like when I did the national anthem and it was everywhere, New York Post had it up within 20 minutes that I had inside information. I was right on that one. All right. Let's give my, you know, I'll be happy about that. Is that something that quickly caught like wildfire. And it moved the national anthem odds, but it wasn't like crazy. The idea that something that had 50 tweets somehow was like this groundswell from below, because everyone's too dumb to know this frat kid doesn't know anything, that's impossible. You agree with that, Brian?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Revels, it doesn't make sense. Like, that kid doesn't have the...
What?
It doesn't have...
That kid, can't be.
Yeah, believe it or not. That kid doesn't have the influence to make people spend their own money, whatever amount it is, and go run and open up accounts. It had to be somebody who's got enough influence that people believed him. But when this many people get burned, the truth is going to come out eventually, because somebody's going to be pissed off.
You know, I listen, Jonas has a very favorable contract, and whenever he wants, I have to play certain drops. So when he mentioned Revell, now I got to do this.
He was a moocher, a card sheik, a country club golf hustler, a scumbag, chasing dentists for a few bucks.
I mean, listen, tell your agent. We did it. I mean, there is no rhyme or reason to this. Because the only natural way it could happen would be some groundswell. Because in a way, that's implicit, Jonas, in what you just said, which is the people that got hustled. No one did get hustled because very few squares or non-professionals even knew this was happening. I tweeted it out a couple hours before, but it was already down to 2-1 or 3-1, so there was no money to be made. It went from 40-1... To 2-1, 3-1, before anyone even knew it. Then when it kind of got there, the conversation started. All that money happened. Fezzik, on every day but Tuesday, is on it pretty much all day. He didn't know about it till it was 3-1. This was not some groundswell. Because if it were, it would have went from 50-1 to 40-1 to 30-1 to 20-1. It went from 40-1 to 3-1 almost instantly. The only way that happens is if a syndicate, a very serious person that could bet as much money as they wanted, a very serious person believed inside information. That's the only way this happens. And if it had won, that's exactly what I would believe. Mm-hmm. The fact it lost means that explanation doesn't work. It's a mystery.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We love quick tidbits, Brad. Bryce Harper, There's been major odds changes. Just give it rapid fire.
Yeah, so just 2 weeks ago, Bryce Harper's odds to actually go to the Dodgers were plus 750. Just
so 100 wins you 750, so long shot.
Yep, long shot. Now it came out today at a place called Bookmaker, a very sharp book.
Oh, whoa. Bookmaker.eu is probably the sharpest book in the world.
Yep, so this should be very well respected. Dodgers now minus 150 to get Bryce Harper.
So right now, the biggest bettors in the world are telling you there's a better than 50% chance Bryce Harper goes to the Dodgers.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.